Hi, this is Alan Carrington, and with me is Ian Green. It's Between the Buttons again. We're at Ascolyte 2010, day two, and with me is Gary Hoban from the University of Wollongong. Gary, you're talking about slowmations. For heaven's sake, tell me what that is.
Well, it's something I've been developing for 5 years now, and it's a simplified way for students, whether they're university students or school students, to actually make an animation. And I started it originally because I wanted a way for my science teacher education students to engage with content. So, you know, I'd done lots of different things before, like, you know, websites, board games, reflective journals. And 5 years ago, I thought, well, you know, let's get them to make an animation about some content. And that's essentially where it started.
We're not talking about Wallace and Gromit here, are we? What in the world are we talking about?
Well, funny you say that. You've got to remember the constraints I was under at the time, because it strongly influenced what happened 5 years ago. So in my main job is lecturing to primary students who are learning to teach science. And I give them a two-hour lecture where I try to be interactive with them, and then a one-hour workshop. And I was, as I said, my goal was to get them to do animation in a one-hour workshop, which would, under normal animation processes, be totally impossible. So at the time, I just thought, well, how can I actually make animation simple enough so that students can actually make them in 1 hour? And what I did was, and at the time, actually, ironically, I didn't have any clay, so I just had Play-Doh, which stand up.
Yeah.
And you therefore has to lay down flat on a table.
Yeah.
And we were doing stop motion animations because that's the simplest type of animation. And so we just use plasticine and Play-Doh to start off with. I got them to use their own digital still cameras. And I wanted them to make an animation of a science concept within 1 hour, start to finish.
They're animating scientific processes like a molecule breaking up.
We started off with topics in primary science, mostly about seed germination or the weather or forces. But the funny thing was, though, that normal animation speed, as you know, is played at 20 to 25 frames a second, because the purpose of a normal animation is to make something look alive.
Mm.
That's not the point of this. The point of this is to explain a science concept. So we were playing these things originally at a fast speed, you know, the normal animation speed, but there's no way that they could explain it slowly, explain it properly, because it was moving too fast.
Yeah.
So over time, this all happened over a period of weeks, if you know what I mean, we kept decreasing the animation speed right down to 2 frames a second, and we found that that was a good speed for, you know, the models to be moving at, essentially in slow motion, because then we wanted to get the students to explain it. And ironically, I ended up going to a conference in the US on uses of IT in teacher education. And of 800 presentations, 500 of them were on digital storytelling.
Oh, okay.
Because the purpose of a digital story, as you know, is to provide a really clear narration of, you know, 10 or 12 still photos. And I thought, well, why don't we get the students to narrate them as well? But you've got to remember, because we've got a slow-moving image, you know, the narration can be done. So that was the origins of it, and I originally called it slow motion animation, then slow and then slow motion. But
or Play-Doh-motion.
Play-Doh-motion. Yeah, but you see,
that's not catchy
enough. No, but what's happened over time, this has all happened over 5 years, is that, we sometimes use Play-Doh, but often now in science courses, students use existing models. I mean, science labs, whether they're in school or university, are full of models. Mm. Models of the heart, chemical models, you know, all sorts of things. And, look, you know, we've animated leaves, rocks, you name it, and we've animated it, all to do with getting students to engage with the content knowledge. And remember what they've got to make here. They've got to make a 1 to 2 minute animation to explain a concept. That's their goal.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to engage with the content, internalise it, think about how to represent it, and then explain it clearly. So by the time they do that, in order for them to explain it and also make a model in the photos, they've really got to understand it. And what we do, I've got three fairly big grants on the process at the moment, is we've designed our own little YouTube where the students upload them, and then we get them to critique each other's because that's an important part of the learning. But, I mean, it's very engaging.
Is engaging the major benefit of it, engagement? Or what are the benefits of it?
Well, it's a double-edged thing. I mean, I originally wanted something, a new way for them to engage with content. Right, but what I've found over time is that it's a very good way for them to develop deep learning or deep understanding of a concept. And here comes the theoretical part of it, because in making a simple narrated animation or a slow motion, they've got to make a sequence of five representations in order to culminate in the final animation, which is actually a multimodal representation.
Right.
So by the first representation, this is the theoretical stuff, yeah. Okay, theoretically we're calling it cumulative semiotic transformations.
Oh my God.
Whoa. How's that?
Better say that again.
Yeah, you'll get the point. I mean, they're making a representation and the meaning is cumulative. It builds from one to another. Let me give you a quick explanation. If I, you know, I allocate students a topic, something they're usually not familiar with, you know, which might be, say, cell division. Right? They've got to take notes and, you know, to learn something about cell division, meiosis or mitosis, in the first instance. So that's actually interpretation of existing content. That's the first representation. The second representation is storyboarding. They've got to make a simple storyboard to work out how they're going to sequence that information that they've taken notes on. And that's, these are all ways of interrogating, what I call interrogating the content. So they've got to work out, okay, what am I going to represent? How am I going to represent it? And I get them to write their narration when they do their storyboard. That's the second representation.
Okay. Yeah.
They then have to take that storyboard, which becomes the guide or the plan for the third representation, which is actually making the models, right? So again, it's the transfer of meaning, or a translation task is what they call it, that's important, all right?
Mm.
Now, you've got to remember, that's the third representation, making the models or use existing models. The fourth representation is actually taking photos of the models that they're moving. And I say we just make the models sitting on a table. So you can use a digital still camera, or I'm encouraging now students to use their mobile phones.
Mm.
That's the fourth representation. And that has particular affordances as well, because it's making the students think, well, how do these things move in relation to each other?
Yeah.
And then they take those photos and put them into the fifth representation, which is the actual animation itself. So the final animation has models moving in slow motion. It sometimes has text that's labelled, and also a narration. So it's a third mode that combine together. But the quality they're learning has got to do with the transfer and building of meaning from one representation to the next. That's the deep learning part.
Okay. And we're talking here at different levels. We're talking about, these are pre-service teachers you're working with.
Well, I mainly deal with pre-service primary students, okay? But I've had preschool children making these on a co-construction basis. Monash University focus on secondary teacher education, and Queensland University of Technology, because they're all in my ARC, I've got an ARC Discovery grant on this area, are focusing on tertiary science students in science discipline subjects, making representations of DNA replication and mitosis and so on. So we've actually got examples of students making these from preschool to university.
Okay, so it works for sort of teachers to understand the content and how they're going to unfold it to classes, and it works for students.
Well, you've heard the old phrase that if you want to understand something, a good way to do it is to teach it.
Mm.
Because when you want to teach a topic, you have to understand it yourself, put it in a sequence, and put it in a language that the pupils will understand. It's the same process.
Yeah.
In order
to
make an explanatory representation, which is what a slow motion is, you've got to understand the content initially, and through building those sequence of five representations, and you're trying to make the best, simplest explanation possible to someone to view that, you end up building understanding yourself.
Mm.
Where do you see this thing going?
Well, the slow motion website, which is www.slowmation.com, that we've built, and we've started actually monitoring the numbers this year in March, is approaching 2 million hits this year from users in 65 different countries.
Wow.
So, and I've got an ALTC grant at the moment, which is putting on examples from university teaching from early childhood, primary and secondary. So the website's going well. If you do a Google search on the word Slowmation, you'll get about 2,000 URLs. So it's been taking up, and I'm not so humbly speaking here, in lots of different ways in lots of different countries. So the equivalent example that I know of that's very, very popular is digital storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, digital storytelling is huge in the US.
Yes.
Huge, okay?
Yeah.
Because it's an example of a simple use of technology to narrate a slideshow, okay?
Yeah.
This is an equivalent thing, but to do with simple animation, right? So, you know, this really could go anywhere. I'll give you, for instance, I've got another grant at the moment where we use...
How many grants do you have?
I've got three at the moment. Oh. But this is an interesting one. That it's a grant on...
All grants are interesting.
It's a grant, nothing to do with science. It's to do with storytelling with an Aboriginal perspective.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm working with an Aboriginal academic at Wollongong, and he is teaching and modelling to our non-Aboriginal students about Aboriginal ways of knowing in terms of holistic learning, relatedness to country, and they're making a Slowmation, choosing their own special place, which might be a camping area, beach or favourite tree, for doing a narrated animation, putting into place the animation as a representation of their learning. So we're into storytelling now.
That's... I was told it was fascinating. I didn't realise it could... How fascinating. We've been talking to Gary Hoban from the University of Wollongong. And, Gary, thank you very much for your time. This is Alan Carrington and Ian Green, and it's Between the Buttons.